Be there, my dear friends. I'm thankful for the timing of that song. It goes around very well with what I want to talk to you tonight about. He'll always be there. He's never let me down. He's always been there when I have needed him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians 1, when you found your place, would you join me by rising to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, immutable, irreversible, irreplaceable word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read two or three verses and then go back and expound upon them tonight. God has placed this thought on my heart, and as I mentioned this morning, it's been very heavy on my heart. I want to share it with you, and I want you to listen very closely to what the Word of God has to say. We are all in this spot tonight. Look at the Scripture, beginning in the third verse. The Bible said, "Blessed be God," and we can say amen. Right there. "Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Underscore those words. "And the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Have you ever considered that the comfort of God is a miracle of God? Think about it. How exactly does a great big God who resides way up there get his comfort to little old me, who is way down here? There's a glorious truth here in this passage that I want us to learn tonight. I want to speak to you on this thought: comfort food. Comfort food. Boy, don't we know that's true. Comfort food. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, Holy Father, I come before you again in Jesus' name, pleading that same blood, asking for your help in this service tonight. I pray you touch your preacher and touch your people tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God so rest upon us. Lord, may we learn something from your word. So, Spirit of God, our teacher, be showing the things of Christ to me. Help us for Jesus' sake, for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we would all agree that there's something about food that just brings us comfort, isn't there? I can't exactly explain or put our finger exactly on what it is. Perhaps it's because eating is something that is universal to us all. We all do it. We all need it. We all desire it. And we likely all enjoy it. Whenever we see a chicken run across the TV screen or maybe across the field next to the house, everybody in the world knows exactly what a chicken is. And I imagine I can speak for every man in this building right now. We're trying to figure out ways that we can prepare that chicken and that we can eat that chicken, aren't we, fellas? That's what we're thinking about. We're thinking in our mind, we can prepare and we can eat the legs of that chicken. We can eat the assorted different types of wings. We can eat it baked. We can eat it grilled, barbecued, and deep fried. I feel the presence of the Lord right now. Don't you go to talking about all that good kind of chicken. A lot of ways you can do that. There sure is. I believe one of the reasons that comfort is found when we go to eating is because it's instilled within us at such a young age. I have always been amazed at how that we can have a hungry, tired, and screaming out of control baby, a child that is screaming, but then we can flip on VeggieTales. And whenever they see Bob the tomato and Larry the cucumber types of food acting all silly, they immediately find comfort, don't they? No matter how bad our spousal argument has been, for everybody else, not us, no matter how bad our spousal argument has ever been, one can suggest going out to dinner and you both find immediate comfort in that. No matter how bad and how trying and how difficult my day has been, I can prop my feet up in my chair at the house with a big bowl of vanilla ice cream with Reese's shell chocolate spread all over it with Andy Mitts crunched up in the middle of it, and I can find immediate comfort. There is such a thing as comfort food for our physical needs, isn't there? But I want us to understand tonight as well, there is also such a thing as comfort food for our spiritual needs as well. That spiritual comfort food, it is found in the Word of God. And friends, no matter how bad our spousal argument has been, no matter how bad our week has been, or how bad we may feel life in general is to us at that particular time, don't ever forget that there is comfort that is found on the menu pages of the blessed Word of God. Those of you that are here today and you're hungry, those of you that are here tonight and you just need some comfort from the Lord, I want you to notice carefully what the Word of God teaches us in the form of three different things tonight. Write them down. My prayer is that God will help us through them. Now, I want you to think, first of all, with me, when we look at this text, that we see the suffering of God's people. The suffering of God's people. Now, as we've studied this passage of Scripture, I'm not going to share these thoughts with you tonight in the numerical order by which that I have read them in our text. I want us to begin back in verse number 5 and then work our way backwards, because I think it is very important that we establish in our hearts tonight the truth of the suffering of God's people. Paul is writing this letter, his second letter to the Corinthians, and in it he is telling them that there is truth, that the people of God are going to suffer. But as he is beginning to let this write this letter and lay this upon the heart of the people at Corinth, he tells them, first of all, having to do with his suffering, that it is just a painful reality. And friends, it is. When it comes to suffering of God's people, this is just painful reality. Battles that we are all going to have to fight. Paul, of course, being the writer right here, and if we know anything about the life of Paul, we talked a little bit about it this morning, didn't we? Paul was a man that if anybody ever had, he understood a little bit about what suffering with Christ was really all about. And it was here that he tells us a little bit about how all of that works. Look in verse number 5. He says, "For as the suffering of Christ abound," look at it, "in us." Now we'll notice that Paul compares right here, or he connects the suffering of Christ with the suffering of God's people, the suffering of the followers. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all stand up tonight and we could all say that life is just easy, life is just rosy. Walking with God is something that is just smiley all the time. There's never a care in the world. There's not a one of us in this building tonight that can say that living for God and living in this life is always easy. That it is just a gravy train making it through this life. We are assured upon the authority of God's Word in Scripture that we as God's people are going to have to suffer through some things. We are going to have to suffer as Christ suffers. In the age that we live today, we may, and I do put emphasis on the word may, we may not have to suffer in many of the ways that Christ suffered. We may not have to be imprisoned for our faith. We may not ever be beaten or, of course, crucified for our faith. But while none of those things may ever happen, there is one thing that we can be absolutely guaranteed of, that earning our crown of service will come at a cross of suffering. We are going to suffer in this life. We are going to struggle in this life. When you look at the Scripture, we notice the word suffering. It is used in the 5th verse, and it is referring to hardship that comes upon our life, hardship or pain that we experience on a day-to-day basis. Usually in a means and in a way that we just don't think is fair. Usually in something that we believe in our heart that we just don't deserve. Friends, because of the curse of sin in this world today, and because of the hatred of this world against the true people of God, we shouldn't be surprised at all when we have to go through financial hardships, when we have to go through the hardship of a wayward child, or a sickness, or natural disasters in this world, or anything else that you want to name. We should not be surprised at all at the things that bring trouble to our heart or tears to our eyes. But friends, we cannot lay around thinking that it's just not fair. It's so easy in our life to get the idea, it's just not fair, God. I'm trying my best to serve you. I'm trying my best to live for you, to walk with God. And dear God, in my pity party right now, I am telling you, it's just not fair that I am having to deal with these things in my life. We're asking God, why does such bad things have to happen to what we believe is such a good person? Why am I having to struggle? Why am I having to suffer? Why am I having to go through such a hard time in our lives? So easy to get that idea, to get the idea that God just isn't treating us fairly. But we just need to remember tonight that there has not been one yet born in this world that has ever escaped this life without having to experience suffering in this world. Every one of us know what I'm talking about tonight. We've heard our grandparents, our parents, and everybody along the line talk about this matter of suffering. Suffering is a part of our lives. You're going to walk with God. You're going to have to struggle. You're going to suffer a little bit. You're going to fight some battles. The closer you are with the Lord, the more you're going to suffer through some things. Somebody that don't have any problems, but yet they say they're a saved child of God. Somebody don't ever have any struggles or suffering in any way, and you never have any battles to fight. You ain't walking with God real close. You're going to walk in with God, and you are going to have some struggles in your life. We may as well get used to it. Accept the fact that it's coming and plead the blood of Christ around our life, the grace of God to strengthen us through it all. There is a painful reality, but there's hope in it. There isn't only the painful reality in this suffering, but there is a precious reminder that the Lord gives us as well. A precious reminder. We're going to revisit verse number 5 in our next thought for a few minutes. But for right now, I want you to notice the words where it says, "For as the sufferings of Christ." Look at it. "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Now, slowly and carefully look at that verse. Try to wrap your mind around what God is telling us by the pen of Paul in that verse. The word consolation that we see, it is speaking of encouragement. It is speaking of exhortation. Maybe we want to note that in your Bible. He is saying consolation that is giving. The Lord is telling us that even though we are going to have to suffer and we're going to have to go through some things, He's saying, "I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to be there to exhort you, to encourage you, and to comfort you through every bit of the struggle of your life." Yes, the Lord is saying, you are going to shed some tears, but thanks be to God, I've been there some of those days when He's been right there beside me to wipe those eyes. Yes, there's going to be times when you're going to be shaken, but the Lord says, "I'm going to be right there to calm your nerves." Yes, there's going to be some days when you feel like your world is falling apart. Everything is just going on. You can't handle it anymore, and it's just not fair. But whenever those days come, you just remember that it wasn't fair the way they treated me on this earth either. It wasn't fair the way that they beat me, imprisoned me, and the way that they crucified me. But what He is telling us here is the same God, the God the Father, that comforted God the Son when He was in the struggles and the suffering of His life. Think about it. It is that same God that is going to reach down and comfort you and comfort I when we are going through the suffering of our life as well. When we find ourselves in times of trouble, most of us, we mess it all up, don't we? See, we go to the wrong places for comfort. How many of you still with me? Say amen right now. We go to the wrong places for comfort. We go to places that we got no business going to try to find comfort and try to find help. Many people will go to a liquor bottle only to find that at the bottom of that bottle all they find is emptiness in their world. Many people will run to drugs but only to find that when that high runs off, they're only left with brokenness. Many people will run to a relationship that they know does not honor God and that they have no business being in. And when all of that newness wears off and that gratification that comes with it, they are left only with loneliness. You run to the long, wrong places for comfort, you are going to be left with nothing but emptiness. You're going to be left with brokenness, and you're going to be left with loneliness. God help each one of us to get our hearts in this matter, that when we are going through the suffering and the trials and the struggles of this life, just to simply leave everything else alone and run straight to the foot of the mighty cross, just run to Jesus. That's what He wants us to do. When we're in these suffering seasons of our life, we need to run straight to Him, and I'm telling you, we will be amazed at the depth of the comfort that we will find. There isn't only in this passage the suffering of God's people, but we see also the sufficiency of God's provision. There is the sufficiency of God's provision. Some of you here right now know what I'm talking about. You've been in a time in your life when you've been suffering. You've been in a time where your back has been against the wall. You didn't know what else to do. You didn't know where else to go. You didn't know how God was going to step into your world, how God was ever going to be able to move those clouds away again, how God was going to wipe the tears that you're crying, how God was ever going to let you smile again and heal the hurt of your life. You know exactly what I'm talking about right now. You've experienced suffering. But friends, until you've experienced suffering from the Lord, you will never fully understand what the sufficiency of God's provision is. It's in those times of suffering that He will come alongside of us and He will wipe our tears. He will help us through our pain. He will calm our nerves. He will begin putting all the broken pieces of what seems to be so unfair back together in our lives. You look at the sufficiency of God's provision. Think with me now about an extended mercy. There is an extended mercy. The Lord did a good work in my heart on this. Talking about an extended mercy. Look at verse number 3. Verse 3 opens with the word blessed. You notice that word right there. It is speaking here of gratitude, adoration. It is speaking even of praise that is given to God. Even while in the suffering seasons of our lives. Friends, there's a great lack of that as we're going through the struggles of our life in our day. Now, Paul was writing about suffering while he was going through a season of suffering himself. But it was in the middle of that season of suffering while he was writing about it that somehow God moved in and somehow he found the sufficiency of God's provision even in the middle of the suffering of God's people. And I believe that verse number 3 gives us a hint as to how it was and how God gave that to him. Look at verse number 3 further into it. He says, the Father, keep that in mind, the Father of all comfort. Look at that. The Father of it. You understand who's in charge of this thing, don't you? Daddy's in charge. Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy. He says the Father, the controller, the giver, the one that holds the storehouse, the one that has the safe, the code to the safe, the combination to the safe where all of the comfort is found. That's who we're talking about right here. He says the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I tell you, there's no way for us to be able to separate the word mercy in this text from the word comfort in this text. You ought to take a pen out and you ought to circle those words together if you can. There's no way to separate the word mercy and the word comfort there. For you see, mercy is comfort. Comfort is mercy. And we will never experience true comfort until we realize that we have been granted mercy. Can I say that again to us right now? Mercy is comfort, and comfort is mercy, and we will never experience true comfort until we realize that we have been granted mercy. I want everybody to look at me right now. I want you to listen very, very closely to this. Anything that we have ever had in this life, and anything that we have currently got in this life, and anything that we will ever have in this life is due nothing more than a good mercy of God that has been extended to us. And I tell you, whenever I go to thinking about that, I am truly overwhelmed when I consider how truly good God has been to me. Merciful to me in times that I just have not deserved it. God extended me mercy the day He allowed me to be born in America. God extended me mercy the day He put me in a family that loved me enough to get me to God. God extended me mercy, all such mercy I didn't deserve, the day that He saved my hell-deserving and hell-bound soul. God extended me mercy the day He gave me my precious, faithful wife and two beautiful little girls. God extended me mercy. God extended me mercy the day He called me into the ministry. The day He called me to preach. The day that He allowed me to come to this place and pastor this church. God extended me mercy. God has just been good to me. Let's just be honest right now. If you knew me the way I've known me over the years, you wouldn't listen to a word I had to say. But let's just be fair about it. If I knew you the way you've known you through the years, I likely wouldn't even listen to a word you had to say either. God has just been abundantly good to us, abundantly merciful to us. God has shown us mercy. We are literally nothing tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And it is of the extended mercy of our good God that we are able to stand here and we are able to worship Him in this place tonight. Joel, you ought to have been singing in some honky-tonk last night. But it is the mercy of God that allowed you to stand on this stage and sing praises to the blessed name of God. Jerry, you ought to be a drug dealer somewhere tonight. But it is of the mercy of God that is extended to you that allowed you to get saved in 2001. Called out of all that filth. Called out of all that dealing and all that using. And God's mercy spared you. You ought to be a drunk in a ditch, Randy, right now. You should have woke up this morning not remembering what went on last night. But it was the extended mercy of God that has allowed you to serve Him today. I could go place to place. Your family ought to be busted up tonight with no hope whatsoever. But the extended mercy of God stepped into your life and it changed everything. Every one of us, some of us ought to be in hell tonight. But the extended mercy of God stepped in and changed our life. Those of us that are struggling trying to walk with God and to live for God, God help every one of us to realize that it is God's mercy that you woke up this morning and you had a breath that you could take. Don't you ever run from the God. God's mercy is what gives you life, and it will be God's judgment that'll take us out of it if we ever abuse the good mercy of God. Listen to me. The first step to us ever finding comfort in this life is understanding that we simply don't deserve it. God's mercy is what's allowed us to be here tonight. God's mercy is what gives us comfort. It is His mercy that has been extended to us. An extended mercy, but that mercy has an extensive ministry as well. An extensive ministry. Praise the Lord, I'm enjoying myself right now. Maybe a little more than you are, but I'm enjoying myself. Verse number 3 goes on to say, look at it, and the God of all comfort, verse number 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation. All our tribulation. Don't miss those words, the all in verse number 3, the all in verse number 4. I was sitting at the house Friday night, and we were watching that program, that two-year remembrance of Billy Graham's life. And brother, Dr. Graham was probably in his early, mid-90s at this interview, and he quoted this passage of Scripture, and inadvertently, of course, he passed over the word all. And I spoke up about it right there in my living room. I said, Brother Graham, don't forget the all. The all has everything to do with this. Amen. The all tells us everything. I mentioned we were going to come back to verse number 5. Because we need to examine right here the words when it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound by Christ. Now we got to remember, consolation, exhortation is talking about encouragement. The words that we see abound or abound in, they are meaning right here to exist in abundance or wealth. In other words, there's plenty of it. There's plenty of it that is available to us, so we can safely read the verse this way without any doing any damage to the integrity of the Scripture. He could say it right here, for as the suffering of Christ is abound in us, in wealth in us, so our comfort also abound or is wealthy by Christ. In other words, the comfort that God gives to us, it's wealthy. There's no limit to it. Sometimes we go through the suffering of this life, and we are fighting in the battles of this life, and we think that God has exhausted all of His ability, all of His means to comfort us. He has spent all of that comfort on everybody else, and He's got nothing left to give to little old me. Way down here where I'm at, where I'm struggling in this life. But that ain't the case at all. There's plenty of it. He says all of the comfort for all of the trials, all of the tribulation, all of the suffering of our life, all the comfort of God is available to us. It is available to us all, you see, in abundance and in a wealthy way. The Greek word that is translated here from comfort, it is used here and it means literally to call alongside of. It means to call alongside of. You ever been walking along before in your life? It just felt like you were so lonely. You were all alone. You didn't feel like you had a friend in the world. You felt like you were in the battle alone. Mom and dad have forsaken you, brother and sister, son and daughter, friend, neighbor, coworker. It was you and you alone. Friend, when we come to the place where we find He's all we have, it's where we'll learn He's all we need. He is the one who will give us the comfort that we need in this life. Now try to put it together with me right now. How that word that we've just talked about, comfort, the word that we talked about, the translation of it, it is to call alongside of. In John chapter 14 and the 18th verse, when Jesus was preparing His disciples for His departure, He comforted them by telling them that I will not leave you comfortless. Comfortless, but I will come to you. I will come to you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The word that He uses right here, it is making reference to an orphan. You know what Jesus is saying? He's telling His followers that I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you comfortless. Somehow, and it is in the realm of the mysterious, it's one of these things that I simply cannot explain. But somehow, when we seem to be walking all alone in our life, when we seem to be, come here, Randy, when we seem to be walking through the struggles of life, and we are just all alone, walk that way over there, walk over there toward the flag, when we're all alone and we're having a hard time in life, we realize our wife has cancer, we realize the report has not been great, we realize that the battle is just getting worse and worse and stronger and heavier, somehow in the mysterious. The comforting arm of God wraps Himself around us. Amen. When nobody else is around, when no other doctor is giving any hope, Amen. When no pill may seem to help, when no prescription is going to do the job, there Thank is the Lord. God of all comfort that'll come and walk side by side with it. I cannot explain that. I'm just telling you that's what the Word of God is telling us. Somehow He will not leave us alone. He will not leave us orphaned. He will not leave us comfortless in this life. He will come alongside of us. He will comfort us when we've lost our job. He will comfort us when our family is fractured. He will comfort us when we are in the funeral home with a loved one. He will comfort us when we ourselves are sick. But friends, if we'll just look for it, we will find the comfort of God. It doesn't matter how deep, how wide, how high, how far the suffering of our life. We will find the sufficiency of God's comfort in the middle of it all. For He is the God of all comfort. Those of us that are here tonight that are just struggling. I mean, the battle is real. I mean, you just feel like you're all alone. You're walking through this. You're battling battle after battle after battle. You feel like that you're just alone. You don't have a friend in the world. It seems like everybody's abandoned you. There is one that is out there that will come alongside of you and will not leave you orphaned. He'll be a father to you when you need a father. He will comfort you when you need comfort. There's the suffering of God's people, the sufficiency of God's provision. This is what I want you to get right now. There is the sharing of God's presence. The sharing of God's presence. This is where it gets personal to us right here. We can shout, we can say hallelujah, praise God for everything we've talked about. This is where it gets right down to you and me. The sharing of God's presence. This is hard for us to accept. But the chief end of all of our suffering, if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
The chief end of all of our suffering ought to be to glorify God.
Amen.
If we're going through suffering and we've not come to that point yet, where we want God to get glory out of it, we've not yet come to the place God wants us to be. The chief end of our suffering is to glorify God, but also to comfort others who are going through the same. The Scripture makes it abundantly clear to us, and the sooner that we learn that lesson in our hearts and in our lives, the sooner that we'll find the true comfort of God in our suffering. But it's going to take, first of all, a prudent search. It's going to take a prudent search. The word prudent that I'm using right here, it is speaking of acting with or showing care and thought for the future. For a situation, you're going to have to start looking for things. Look at verse number 4 with me. Who comforted us, talking about the Lord. The Lord who comforted us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them, listen closely, which are in any trouble. Now, I don't know if you heard that. That we may be able to comfort them. Did you see it? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God, through His own example, teaches us to comfort others. There's no greater person that we can learn from than God. And through His own example, He teaches us to comfort others. When we look back through all of the suffering seasons of our lives that we are now on the other side of, don't you know that all of us can look back and we can see the strong arm of God that has picked us up and carried us through that suffering and has proved that sufficiency in the middle of it. Story after story, I've heard you all tell it. I've told you story after story of how the comfort of God has been sufficient in our suffering. It will always be there. You see, it is the comforting of God experiences that we are now on the other side of that convey to others, that we are to convey to others that are going through the same. Now, let me just break it down and put it this way. The comfort of God is conveyed through the comfort of His people. The comfort of God is conveyed through the comfort of His people. We don't have to look far. You can look to your left, you can look to your right. Behind you, in front of you, you don't have to look far to find a child of God somewhere that is just struggling. They are limping through life. They are suffering through some things. When was the last time that you had a search on your heart and you searched out somebody that was suffering through some things? You knew somebody was suffering. So you went out and you found that person that was struggling. And what you did is you became their friend in their lowest moment of life. And you said, by God's grace, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to be the blessing to you that you need to be right now, that you need to have. Is it possible that we are not finding any comfort in our suffering right now, the suffering season of our life that we are in? Is it possible that we are not finding any of that right now? Because God knows, and we are proven by our actions, that we are still sulking in our "it's not fair" attitude. I don't deserve any of these things. And friends, if that's the case, then we have yet to learn that God has brought our suffering into our life for us to use it as a ministry to comfort other people, who are going through the difficult moments of life, when we see someone who needs some comfort, comfort that we can provide, comfort that God has given us the ability in and of ourselves due to something we ourselves have been through, and when we choose by our own shyness or selfishness not to do it, don't be surprised for one second when you find yourself in a place of needing comfort one day. Amen. And nobody will be there to dry your tears. Nobody will be there to pick you up. Nobody will be there to carry you along. Nobody will be there to comfort you in this life. You mark my words. These things always have a way of coming back around. You take the suffering that you are in right now, and you understand that you've got to give God the glory for it. You've got to say, dear God, by your grace, I'm going to give you the glory no matter what comes into my life, no matter good, no matter bad, no matter rain, no matter shine. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to glorify you through it all. By your grace, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to find somebody else to pull along through this process and bring comfort to them while they are suffering through something in their life as well. A prudent search. But to do that, it takes a personal story. A personal story. The fourth verse says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I hope you notice that word any again. I try my best as I study God's Word. God, I tell you, God pricks my heart. He teaches me areas that I am such a failure in. And sometimes we only make an effort to comfort people in our life. Sometimes we only make an effort to comfort people that we want to comfort. Some people we don't want to have anything to do with it. We don't think they deserve comfort. We don't think that they deserve our time for it. But friend, I'm telling you again, if we ever get that attitude, don't be surprised when that time comes when we are struggling and we never thought we'd be in this place in our life and we desperately need somebody just to be our friend. He says right here that we are to comfort those who are going through any trouble. Find somebody that's going through any trouble. But folks, how do we do that? The only way to do that is to search someone out. To sit down with them and to take all the time that it takes to tell them your story of how a comforting God in some way or another sent somebody by your way. And when you were in the tear-filled, the heartbroken, the nerve-shot season of your life where everything seemed to be so unfair, that's when God brought somebody right beside you. God became your friend. Somebody came along to comfort you in your suffering. We all have a story of some form to tell. Every one of us have a story to tell. Though many of us don't tell it. Whether it be to pride or whether it be to privacy, sometimes we just simply won't tell it. But folks, God has given you your story. God has given me my story to help wipe the tears, to help calm the nerves, and to help pull somebody else through the suffering season of their lives. I've got my own story of a level of suffering. It may not be that big of a deal to you all, but it sure has been to me. And I've struggled so badly with it. And it used to be a story that I would never tell, a story that I kept to myself because I was ashamed of it. I've shared it with many of you. But God one day, Brother David, showed me that he could take that story and he could use it to encourage somebody else that's fighting some of those same battles. So that's when I pulled the blanket off of it. And I said, Lord, I'll give you this. And I want you to take it. And I want you to use it for your glory. What's the story of your life tonight? The story that you're just hanging on to. You refuse to share because you're embarrassed about it. Pride is in the middle of it. Shyness, privacy is in the middle of it. God gave you a story to be able to share comfort with somebody else who is suffering. Merrill Womack, he was a brilliant gospel singer, previous generation. He was in an aircraft one night taking off in the winter of 1961. And at takeoff, his plane struck a tree, crashed and burst into flames. Womack tumbled out of the airplane, totally engulfed in flames. He was on fire. He was burning alive. He was screaming out in pain. Some spectators who were nearby, they saw the crash. They heard the cries of Mr. Womack. They followed the sound and they went to where Womack was. They picked him up. They put him in the back seat of their car and rushed him straight to the hospital. To their amazement, when they were on their way to the hospital, from the back seat of their car, they heard a voice from a body squealing in pain, saying these words, "I've found the dear Savior, and I'm made whole. I'm pardoned and have my release. His Spirit abiding and blessing my soul. Praise God in my heart. There is peace. Wonderful peace, wonderful peace. When I think of how He brought me from darkness to life, there's wonderful, wonderful even when His world was on fire. Even when His world was burning. Oh, Womack found comfort in Jesus." I wonder tonight, how many of us that are here, we just need some comfort. We came in here tonight, we're feeling so lonely. We feel like that we are left all alone. We feel like that we're in a situation where there's nobody around. We feel like that we are just so meaningless in life. We feel so hopeless in life. And we need that God to walk right alongside of us, to be that Father to us. We don't want to be orphaned any longer. I wonder if that's you tonight. You just need some comfort from God. Friends, the Word of God has provided a buffet before us of comfort food right now. I wonder how many of us are hungry enough just to come on and eat it. Let's stand to our feet quietly and reverently in the house of God. The altars of God are open right now. Maybe you just need to fall down before the Lord and say, God, I need your help. Lord, I'm who He's been talking about. I'm the one that Your Word refers to here. I'm the one that needs some comfort in this life. I'm fighting right now. I'm struggling, trying to keep my head above water. I feel like I'm spiritually going the wrong way. I feel like I'm suffering right now. And maybe you are suffering in some ways. Maybe it is an emotional form of suffering, a financial, physical, a spiritual. I mean, you're suffering. The suffering of God's people. You're not going to be saved long without having some of that. The suffering of God's people. But I tell you, if you'll just run to Jesus, you will find the sufficiency of God's provision. Maybe some of us tonight need to take our story and just give it to God. Say, Lord, I'm going to give it to You. I'm going to let You take my story, no matter how much I've hidden it in the past. I'm going to let You get glory out of it. Won't You help, Lord? Hey, these are praying. God bless your tender hearts all over the building tonight. Many are on their knees in their seats. God bless you. Call out to the Lord. Cry out to Him. some comfort food. It's all in His Word.